Hi. Can you hear me okay? How is this volume on the microphone? Wonderful. Good to be here with you again. This is the last of four in the mini series, and I appreciated what Jacqueline was sharing about Peaceful Warrior. It seems like identification with thoughts and feelings comes up a lot when we are sharing about awakening. And that's been the case with me too in my sharings this last 3 weeks. Identification with thoughts and feelings is really at the core of the veiling effect. And the course talks about one problem, one solution. There may be many forms. Their many forms will not deceive you when we are clear about the one problem and the one solution. The one problem being the veiling effect, which is created by identification with thoughts and feelings. We're taking ourselves to be what's coming and going, and what is always here is veiled. And actually, this last week, I had some conversations with some people, and we were talking about identification with thought. And in both sharings, I shared this experience that I had several months after the shift, and it was an experience that for me made that identification and the veiling effect very clear, and it's an example in daily life that I think everybody can relate to. So I'd like to share that tonight. And it's actually in my book. So rather than tell you it, I want to just read it. It's only three paragraphs. And it's in the chapter titled Feelings Also Want to Be Free, Washing Dishes. A few months after the realization of wholeness and an earnest focus of being present or allowing and sensing life directly, I was washing dishes and there was a sense of complete peace. The water was flowing, soap bubbling up, my body completely relaxed, and my mind at rest as no thought that came was believed. All passed through without a problem. But when my then husband walked through the kitchen into the basement, strong negative emotions came up and took hold. Thoughts popped up with lightning speed, and attention immediately hooked into them. Thoughts of, what is he doing? He shouldn't be doing that. He should be doing this instead, turned into thoughts of an argument that we had a year ago about things that I believed needed to be done. And after several minutes of following this train of thought, I became aware that my hand was furiously scrubbing a pot, my heart was pounding, and my face was flushed. I stopped all movement and literally shook my head as if to wake myself up. As attention went to my breathing, there was a relaxation into life now. My heart slowed down and my body softened. My husband soon came up from the basement and I turned to smile at him. Little did he know how different his return from the basement would have been if he had come up a moment earlier. And I think everybody could relate to that when we're just allowing our thoughts to be, to flow freely as I was when I was washing the dishes. When I was washing the dishes, it wasn't as if I didn't have any thoughts excuse me, come through. There were thoughts, but I just allowed them to be and focused my attention on my senses, the soap, the visual, the auditory, the sensual, what I was feeling, seeing, smelling. And there was such peace in that. And then my husband was just walking through the kitchen. And immediately these feelings came up, which went into thoughts. I took them personally. I was believing that what is happening right now shouldn't be happening, that life is somehow lacking, that my sense of well-being is dependent on what he is or is not doing. And I was off and running in identifying with those thoughts and feelings. My body tensed up, my breathing became labored. It was completely different than just a moment earlier. And then again, when I realized what has happened, I refocused my attention on my breath, my body relaxed, I sensed peace now, and then he came up from the basement and I realized that everything was fine. There was nothing wrong. But in that moment of identifying with thought, I didn't lash out at my husband or say anything, but I could have. And this is a good example of how outer peace is just not possible without inner peace. We truly can't live with others in peace when we are feeling as if there is something lacking now in this moment. Because that lack that we feel within, we then feel that is being created from what is outside of us, and also is going to be solved from what is outside of us. So we will try to control and manipulate others, such as my husband. My husband at the time, I could have told him, you know, about the argument that we had, tried to change what he was doing, and on it goes. But the moment I realized, no, well-being is now, wholeness is now. What somebody else is doing or isn't doing has nothing to do with my sense of self. So when I knew that, it changed everything in my relating to who is around me. And that is the case within our families. That is the case within between countries. Outer peace is an extension or an expression of inner peace. So this is why awakening to who we truly are is crucial to the unfolding of peace within our families, our communities, and the world. When I was washing the dishes and was just sensing peace, there was an allowing of everything that's coming and going to be in its natural state not personal, just allowing it to flow, and then a sensing of wholeness, and allowing and a sensing. And then when those strong emotions came up and I identified with them, then there was a resistance, and then the veiling effect, the resistance of what's coming and going. I was taking it personally. I didn't just allow it to flow. So the resistance creates the sense of a false self. The allowing allows, the allowing of what's coming and going allows the sensing of what always is. The resistance of what's coming and going then creates the false sense of self, the impression of brokenness. It's like if a wave in the vast ocean, if a wave believes it's lacking, itself to be lacking, because it's taking the contents floating within it personally. Let's say there's a wave in the vast ocean, and there's some seaweed floating through the wave, and it has some resistance to that seaweed floating through the wave, so it feels bad about itself because it's floating through. And then a nice fish, a beautiful fish, floats through the wave, and the wave enjoys that sensation. It likes that which is coming and going. So it feels good about itself. When it when the wave is taking the seaweed personally and then feeling bad about itself, it feels as if there's something wrong with it, that it's lacking. We can see in this example that it's ridiculous for the wave to take what's coming and going personally, and basing how it feels about itself or what it knows about itself based on what is coming and going within the wave. It doesn't make sense to us. It's silly. But the wave is very conditioned to do this, to take what's coming and going within it personally. So it feels good, it feels bad, depending on what's floating through it. If we told the wave, well, you're not what's coming and going within you, that the wave would have to believe us. But if we told the wave, why not just see what is when you're not attaching to what's coming and going, when you're not taking it personally, when you're just allowing what is within you to flow freely. Not to resist it, just to allow it. If the wave allows what's coming and going within it, It gets a sense of its vastness. It can sense that there's nothing lacking, that it's whole already, and that it's not separate. The ocean and the wave analogy is a very, very powerful visual. We can see that the wave is not separate from the ocean. So the wave is an expression of the ocean. The wave is not the ego or the false sense of self. The ego is just an impression that the wave may have if it's taking what's flowing through it personally. But if it's not taking what's flowing through it personally, then there's no false sense of self. Well, and it's aware of its true sense of self. Sometimes, such as in formal meditation, people can allow their thoughts and feelings to flow freely, and they can even sense wholeness, but they're not conscious that what they're sensing is their very nature. It's what they're seeking. So they're not conscious of that. So then they continue to seek for decades sometimes, even though they have many times had glimpses of their natural state. But because it's not conscious, because they don't know this is what they're sensing, then they continue to seek for who they are. So we have to be conscious of what it is we're sensing when we're allowing what's coming and going to just flow. We have to allow and sense consciously what it is that's not coming and going, and then trust it. Initially, what may happen in the unfolding is when we sense that there's nothing lacking, we may not see initially that what we are is not personal or separate, but we just sense there's no lack. This is actually how the unfolding happened for me. It was very gradual for me, this unfolding of understanding and the stabilizing of the sensing. When I simply allowed and sensed and confirmed again and again that there is no lack, that wholeness is now, gradually I realized that there is nothing personal or separate. And these go together because when we take something personally, then we're taking other things separately. But when we take nothing personal, then nothing is separate. But again, that understanding may unfold as you just again and again see that there is nothing lacking. Because when we confirm that there's nothing now lacking in this moment, then wholeness is revealed. And wholeness is not personal. There's nothing personal about wholeness. And when we know wholeness, we also know, oh, there's nothing separate. There's nothing separate at all. Another very good analogy to show the dynamic of identification with thoughts and feelings is the night dream, the dream that we have when we're sleeping. And actually, I am going to read something else in my book rather than tell you it, and it's only a couple of pages. And this is from the chapter Waking Up from the Dream of Lack and Separation, Taking Something Personally or Separate. If we have a night dream that other people are out to get us, we feel that one dream character is personal. The other dream characters and world are separate, and that the dreamer is non-existent. Within the dream, it feels as if we are truly in danger of being hurt because we are not conscious of the consciousness in which the dream is arising, and that the other characters in the dream are not separate. With identification with one dream character, fear is experienced because we truly feel that our sense of well-being is dependent on what others do. But in lucid night dreaming, we are conscious of the reality of the dream and dreamer. Although our awareness may be intermittent, with each glimpse of reality, there is a break in fear. The non-personal reality of the one dream character, the non-separate reality of not only the other dream characters, but of the whole dream, and the true reality of the dreamer are all glimpsed simultaneously. We go from feeling that fear is warranted to glimpsing the reality that who we are is not at all threatened. And when we wake up completely from the night dream and see all the way through its lingering effects, the full reality is realized without any more forgetfulness. All fear from the perceived dream threats dissolves fully as the totality is realized. Nothing in the dream is believed or felt to be personal or separate from the consciousness in which it all appears. This is the opportunity each one of us now has in the waking state to wake up out of the misperception of all that seems so personal or separate. But just as the personal seeming dream character does not wake up to realize itself as the consciousness dreaming, so it is within the waking state. There is never a person that wakes up, because there is never an actual separate individual. We don't wake up out of being a person. We wake up out of believing we ever were a person or that which is separate. Lack and separation do not somehow evolve into wholeness. It is realized there never is lack or separation. Before the realization, we believe we are lacking and separate, And then after the realization, most of us go through a period where we know we are whole, yet we often feel separate. But as fear is directly seen and experienced through, this misperception clears up. We gradually realize that there are not separate, whole consciousnesses, but that the unified whole is now expressing itself as whatever is taking shape. There is always only consciousness, either misperceiving itself to be one person within the totality, or being itself knowingly as the totality. Although consciousness expresses itself uniquely in, through, and as each form, when we know who we are, this unique expression is no longer taken personally. That which expresses itself now as the oak tree and willow tree, the worker ant and the queen ant, the human on death row, and the human running the company is one. When oneness is directly known, the optical illusion of separation continues, but we are no longer deluded by it as the feelings of lack and fear fall away. Unlike when we wake up out of the night dream and all form within the dream dissolves completely, this is not the case when we wake up out of the dream of lack and separation in the waking state. When we realize the truth of our being, the play of form or the relative level of experience does not dissolve, but the sense of separation and fear does. The dance or play of form continues with all of these seemingly separate characters, either dancing unconsciously to the beat of the flawed imagined sense of self, or dancing consciously, or dancing unconsciously to the beat of the flawed imagined sense of self, or dancing consciously to the beat of the whole. The feel of dancing in alignment with or as truth is very different than the feel of dancing in resistance, but we know directly that it is consciousness dancing it all. The teaching within most, if not all, religions that states that the divine is omnipresent is the full truth of it all. But this is not something to be believed in, but to be discovered and consciously lived. One misperception, a big misperception that many seekers have, is that the ego or the false sense of self is an actual thing that they have to get rid of or resist in some way. It's not. It's simply an impression that we have of lack when we identify with what's coming and going. It's always consciousness. We are that. Everyone is that. Everything is that. So it's truly only how we are now perceiving that is either veiling who we are or allowing it to be discovered. And again, this is something I don't want anybody to believe, but it could be checked out in your own experience at any time. Some other main obstacles to awakening are not only believing that the ego is something real, but I think I shared this maybe last week, having expectations that awakening is something extraordinary, or that it's going to blast all conditioning out of our system. And if it doesn't, then we haven't yet discovered it. We haven't yet discovered our true self. This is a very unfortunate expectation that many seekers seem to have. In my case, the conditioning was significant. I've heard of other people who have had a profound awakening and have had months of just bliss. I can honestly say that for me, it was maybe moments of this knowing, this profound knowing that all is well, that there is nothing wrong. And I knew that so deeply that even though the conditioning was significant, just moments after that recognition, I was interested in confirming it again and again because I was so tired of suffering. This also is another obstacle to awakening, is not having that intense focus, that intense desire to discover and confirm truth in our own experience, regardless of what's coming and going, regardless of the conditioning. Because if we don't trust it, it will not reveal itself to us. Life truth will not force itself on us. Even those who have a spontaneous awakening and may not have even been seeking it, at some point, life gives them the opportunity to now consciously choose it. The initial gift, possibly, wasn't chosen. It wasn't chosen consciously. But at some point, life gives us all the opportunity to choose it consciously. Because this conscious choosing is then what is the movement for the integration into the stabilizing of the sensing of it, the knowing of it, the living of it, the living it, expressing it. That's a very conscious integration process. But again, there has to be an intense focus, particularly for those of us who have a lot of conditioning, the momentum of conditioning that plays through. For me, I was completely tired of suffering, and I trusted what I had glimpsed so completely that this became an all-consuming focus for me. Literally, from the moment I woke up in the morning until the moment my eyes closed at night, this was my intention to sense truth, to confirm truth. Even though at the beginning, literally, it was only a moment here, a moment there. But because I told life that this is what I wanted the truth, then gradually I remembered more during the day to sense truth, and the moments of sensing truth before I was back into the forgetfulness lengthened. But this was very, very gradual for me. And I suspect that a lot of people, for most people, it is very gradual like this. But I could see if somebody is not really intent on stabilizing in the truth, how easy it could be to kind of go off and just, you know, get distracted in so many different ways. I remember one friend soon after this shift of understanding for me, one friend was talking about a book that she had read about totem animals and how interesting it was. And because I had been seeing, I think it was a robin. There were a lot of robins that summer, and one had built a nest right outside my back door and had, there were some eggs in the nest. And I found myself becoming pulled into finding more out about totem animals. So I went home and I started researching them. I was looking online for a book to read. And then all of a sudden, the thought came, what do you really want? And it kind of woke me up out of what I was doing and refocused me into, no, I don't want to be distracted in any way. I want to discover truth. I want to stabilize in the sensing of truth. And so I didn't buy the book. I didn't research further. I just enjoyed the robins out my back door. It's not that there's anything wrong with researching or being interested in totem animals. But for me at that particular time, it was very clear that it would have been a distraction. It would have taken me out of what I truly wanted to stabilize in. So I made a conscious choice not to buy the book and not to divide my attention in any way whatsoever. And I was very, not only very focused, but very kind of even, it was like a scientist. I did not rely on beliefs or assumptions in any way whatsoever. I was interested only in what is right now, regardless of condition, regardless of anything that's coming and going. A scientist puts aside beliefs, or a good scientist puts aside beliefs or assumptions and expectations, and they simply observe. And for us in this awakening, it's observing and sensing. So because we want to discover life, discover truth, there's an observing or an allowing of what's coming and going, and then a sensing of what is always present. In the allowing and sensing, we're sensing that there's no lack whatsoever. And the moment we resist then that sense of wholeness is veiled. Because it's not only a resistance of who we are, it's a resistance of the true nature of what is flowing, the true nature of thoughts and feelings, energy, just impersonal energy just flowing through. When we take it personally, we're resisting the true nature of the thoughts and the feelings. So they get stuck, in a sense. And this is why sometimes, well, often actually, we, as conditioning comes up, thoughts or feelings, even that we've had for a long time, after the shift, these feelings are now coming up to be set free. Because we took them personally previously, and they, in effect, then lodged themselves in our being, or in a sense, they kind of solidified themselves. After awakening, or as the awakening is unfolding, they come up to now be felt, experienced as they actually are. Just sensations, not personal. So everything wants to be free. Everything. Everything that we in the past, we could say, took personally, now is coming up so that we can just see it, be with it as it actually is, set it free, allow it to now flow. So a lot of stuff can come up, but this is good, this is progress. But we have to see it as an opportunity to now experience everything as it is freely, not to feel bad about what's coming up, or to judge it, or to feel as if something is wrong, or maybe we haven't really discovered our true nature because of all this stuff coming up. No, it's an opportunity to just allow it to be free. Everything wants to be free. So if we have been conditioned to really stuff our feelings or to resist life, now those same emotions or feelings will come up to just be seen in a different way, to now be met with understanding and love. So as this conditioning comes up, it's important to see that we're not our conditioning. Otherwise, we will judge it, we'll feel bad about the conditioning. The conditioning is just the false sense of self. Well, we have maybe 10 minutes left, and I'd like to see if there's any comments or questions from anybody. Thank you, Regina. I thank you too. Thank you for allowing me to be here for these weeks. It's been very good. It's been a good experience for me. And whenever I use the pronoun me or we, I'm never talking about a person. It's always consciousness expressing as these human beings. Sometimes when people who share about this awakening use the pronoun or have a question come to them and somebody asks about what's coming up for them and how they could see through it. Sometimes the pointing is pointing them away from who they're taking themselves to be, or assuming that they're taking themselves to be a person, which is usually the case. But I like to point out that it's not a person, it's not a separate individual that's taking themselves to be lacking. It is consciousness itself that is now forgetting itself. So there isn't a person that is needing to be gotten rid of. This is a very, I feel, significant understanding. We are always consciousness. It's truly only whether we're sensing that or not, whether we're allowing what's coming and going and sensing what is. So as I was saying, this sharing these past few weeks has been a wonderful opportunity for me, because it's given me an opportunity to just speak from my heart. And I'm not typically a talker. I don't talk a lot. I never have talked a lot. I'm very internal, reflective, so I don't talk a lot, but I've really enjoyed the sharing, and it's been a good opportunity for me. Me as consciousness expressing as this human being right here and right now. There were a couple of times when I have shared like this, like I'm sharing right now, about what I'm learning, at what life is allowing me to integrate. And sometimes people take what I'm saying to mean that I'm talking about myself as this body, this person, because I'm talking in a way that is sharing what's unfolding for me. But that's not where I'm talking from or what I'm pointing to. I'm never sharing from the standpoint of a person, but as consciousness expressing as this being named Deanna at the moment. And I think sometimes people who share the non-dual understanding are hesitant to share what's unfolding for them, because they're coming from a more absolute perspective. But for me, the sharing of how this is all unfolding in this within this expression of consciousness is key to the integration and the unfolding of the understanding as the of the absolute. Also, it kind of works as together so beautifully, I find, in my experience, as we relax more into these expressions. of consciousness, then the understanding of consciousness deepens. And then as we relax more into the absolute, then the understanding then integrates more fully into the expression. So I don't feel any hesitation at all in sharing how this is unfolding within this expression, because I'm not talking about something personal or separate, because we're not separate beings, we're not personal in any way. But this unfolding continues within the wave of consciousness, the wave, the expression of consciousness. This is never ending. As long as consciousness is expressing itself now within these human beings, the unfolding continues. There is just so much richness that reveals itself as we continue to just move more freely without fear. And for me, having this opportunity to share like this is a wonderful opportunity for me, because probably even a year ago, I don't think I would have really felt so relaxed and free in the sharing. I was quite, well, I won't say old when I came to this understanding. I was actually in my early 50s when this shift happened for me. So there was a lot of conditioning, as I said. And a lot of patterns of behavior that had to be seen through and lived through and continue to be lived through. So as life offers me opportunities to just share and speak, and I say yes to it fully, then those limitations that I, consciousness, have taken on are then seen as not real. So this is the opportunity all of us have. And I'm very grateful to be a part of this community and to be able to share with you like this. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to hand over the mic.